John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate all of you being a part of the show today. Stu Jackson joins us, NBA analyst. Coach, I am so happy you were able to make time for me today. There's so many things we want to get to, including two great game sevens today, but with completely different storylines. I'm looking at today, Coach, as a referendum on the process and whether it was all worth it or not. If this team can't get to the Eastern Conference Finals with all the moves they made, you think the Sixers may be thinking there were some mistakes made along the way?
Well, you can go either way, and it's a fair question. You can go either way if they aren't successful. One way you can look at it as they're still in the midst of the process, that they're still very young, even though they've gone to the playoffs and gone to a different round in each of the past 2 years, you can say, well, they're still in the process of developing that playoff mindset, playoff experience, that they're not quite there yet. Or you may look at your roster and say, okay, where have we made some mistakes? I mean, I don't think anybody out there denies Embiid's ability and the fact that he is a centerpiece-type player for any franchise. You can look at Jimmy Butler and argue that he's been their most productive player throughout the playoffs and looks like a guy that has that type of experience and kind of playoff grit. You can look at a guy like Tobias Harris, who I think also has played very well. But when you get down to it, Ben Simmons is the big question for me as it relates to the Philadelphia 76ers and their future. Because, it's difficult and intuitive. It's difficult to really get your head wrapped around the fact that can you be a championship caliber team with a point guard that doesn't shoot the ball from the perimeter, is a very poor free throw shooter, and really doesn't put much pressure on a half-court defense in the playoffs. He's at his best when he's going downhill in a full court situation, but I'm not sure, as great as he is at that ability, that puts enough pressure on the defense in the playoffs when teams have a chance to prepare on a day-to-day basis with rest in between. So, again, you can look at it both ways. You know, that's a decision that franchise has to make, and I'm not quite sure today what the answer is.
Coach, one of the things that I look at is that both of the teams in the Eastern Conference Final, Toronto and Philly, they were expected to go this year to be a successful season. They were expected to get to the Conference Finals. That would have been what people would have been expecting. The Western Conference Final looks different to me, though. It almost feels, and no disrespect meant, that Portland and Denver might even be a year early. How do you look at those two teams?
Yeah, I think you make a very valid point. When you talk about a process, if you looked at the Denver Nuggets, I thought that, they may be a team that potentially, got to the playoffs, maybe won a round. But right now, they're on the verge of being the favorite to make the Western Conference Finals. So I agree with you. They have sort of jumped ahead. And given the fact that they're the youngest team currently in the playoffs with multiple key players of their core under contract for years to come, and you have to look at the Denver Nuggets as probably the biggest threat to the Golden State Warriors, if not this year, in years to come. Portland, on the other hand, you have to look at them. I really feel that the loss of Nurkic, not that he would have turned the tide for the Portland Trailblazers, but he gives them that one extra body and an extra body that's a little bit different than the players that they have right now. He provides some rim protection, certainly some space eating in the low post, great rebounding, and I wonder how much better a team they'd be even with him. But again, their future is bright. And also, by the way, too, they sort of dispelled this whole notion that Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum can't play together.
They've certainly played
pretty well.
They have, and it's been some really good coaching jobs too, Coach. And I know that you admire the job that some of these guys have done. I'm looking at it though. Which one, if Golden State, truth be told, sitting at home today watching Game 7, would they have a rooting interest? Is there one team that they'd rather play or they match up better against?
I don't think they would have a rooting interest because I always get the sense that Steve Kerr is focused just on what they do. It's sort of like the old John Wooden days for those of the listeners out there remember it. But if I'm them, I think I want that lesser experienced team, a team like the Denver Nuggets, albeit they may have more offensive weapons than the Portland Trailblazers. But it's just to get to that final, it's tough. And it really takes your ability to fight the adversity game to game throughout a conference final series. And if I'm the Golden State Warriors, I want that lesser experienced team.
Coach, is there any idea you would have as to why somebody wouldn't want the Lakers job?
Well, I think we've seen it. We've seen that idea.
Yes, we have.
They are not offering a long-term contract, something more than 3 years, for coaches that have been very accomplished up until that point. And, the fact that that job has been turned down by a guy like Monty Williams, who I think is an excellent basketball coach, and Ty Lue, who's gone to three NBA finals, you have to think, coaches of that caliber think that they deserve more. I tend to agree with them. But it looks like they found a very good coach who is willing to take those number of years under some difficult circumstances, being that they're also choosing his staff. I think those are the reasons that they've had some problems.
I got to tell you, Coach, as a fan of the Philadelphia 76ers, I'm upset that Lloyd Pierce got away, and I'm upset that Monty Williams got away. Because I believe both of those guys will go on to more successful coaching careers than Brett Brown. Is that dumb? Does that sound dumb to you? And you can tell me, because I've been called dumb before.
No, I don't think it's dumb. I happen to think Brett Brown is a very good basketball coach, but it's a credit to him that he has developed talent, coaching talent, the way he has. Monty Williams, as I mentioned, excellent coach. Lloyd Pierce certainly proved his own mettle this year with the Atlanta Hawks, and it appears that they're a real young team of the future. So, it happens as an organization. You don't want to be in a position where you're holding, assistant coaches back from head coaching opportunities because you're not going to compensate them at that level. And plus, you're of the mindset that you already have a coach, but I hear you. Two very talented young coaches.
Coach Anthony running the show here for us. He would like you to see if there's anything you can do to help fix the lottery for the Knicks. He would like you to do that. If you have any contacts that can work that out.
Yeah. It's a big day for the Knicks on Tuesday during that show.
It's going to be big.
It's going to be so big because, when you look at this draft, it's a little bit of a top-heavy draft. And, I don't think all is lost if the Knicks end up 1, 2, or 3, given the fact that they're probably going to get two big-name free agents. And if you're sitting here as a Knicks fan in July with two big-name free agents and a 1, 2, or 3
pick, man,
you're probably feeling a little bit different, and you're going to take a longer vacation in August, just feeling great and getting geared up for the season. And listen, it could happen, but I like the top half of that draft. If you get a guy like R.J. Barrett, Jay Morant, and, of course, Zion Williamson, I still think you're going to be in pretty decent shape given their free agent situation.
Coach, thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, buddy.
Enjoy today. Yep.
Have a great day.